We wanted to cover Appendix A, which is his kind of responding to Ligonier Apologetics, Classical Apologetics book, which lays out a evidential approach to, or I guess a classical approach to apologetics. So we kind of think this is the two-step method, the kind of prove it, theistic God exists, and then you slap on the resurrection to show that Christianity is that form of the God that you proved in the second step. And what it also does is it critiques Van Til's presuppositional approach. And if you know anything about the history between Ligonier and Van Til, Bahnsen came and debated very cordially with Sproul, which means that it is possible for classicalists and evidentialists or presuppositionists not to tear each other up. It's a good debate. I think there's a reason that many people don't talk about it, but I think it's one of those where, unless if you care about the subject of the classical versus presuppositional, there might not be that much interest, but this isn't like the Stein debate with Bahnsen. This has some interesting points. And so I'll include the, there's just an audio version of it, but I'll include a YouTube link for the audio. So in Appendix A, he talks about how this is originally published in Westminster Theological Journal and that it's reprinted here. So I think this is reprinted in whole. And so I think he does try his best to kind of include some of the background approach, but this is a book review almost of Classical Apologetics by Sproul, Gerstner, and Lindsay.
Yeah, so he, right. So this is an appendix to the volume that we've been going through. And so this is, he has actually several appendices to his book. And so we thought we'd at least look at this one because it may help us to clarify presuppositionalists, at least in terms of the Van Tilian form, a little better. And he says here that the classical apologetics, puts into systematic form, that is the book Classical Apologetics, puts into systematic form an apologetic approach of considerable interest, says, which up until now had been primarily expressed in popular writings and tape lectures. So he's suggesting that this book came out several years ago actually. And so he's suggesting this is one of the earlier systematic approaches to this classical apologetics, the, as you said, two-step approach here. He says the book is also notable for its critique, as you mentioned, of presuppositionalism, mainly in its Van Tilian form. So that's, he wants to take a look at this book. He's going to go through this book, and he's going to suggest that there's, while it's good, there's some issues with it in terms of how it contrasts with presuppositionalism. And so he wants to bring those things out. It attacks presuppositionalism rigorously, actually. And some folks would even say mercilessly. but he's going to fight back. And so we'll kind of see how this works out for him.
Right. All right. So he says that he'll not discuss the details of the book's historical studies. They are interesting and among the book's best features. And in fact, there's a book that we've gone through that kind of does a breakdown of all the different versions of apologetic approaches that is really good. And there's a lot of good benefit from looking at the historical perspective to that. And I'll include a link to that book below as well. And so, you know, we think, you know, kind of why study church history, and we see the unfolding out of God using the church to have a more complete picture of theology, of who he is, thinking on the things and how to approach things and order our lives, because You know, apologetics, we kind of think of like, well, this is just, you know, how you respond to people or how you help with the faith of the church, but especially from a presuppositional approach. And presuppositional would also say, and I think classicalists would agree, is kind of the way that you do apologetics may also do a great deal of informing how you approach different subjects, especially I would think presuppositionalists would agree with that wholeheartedly, especially it being rooted in the Reformed tradition. I think that that probably has a lot of weight. I do know a few people who aren't Reformed who are presuppositionalists, but we kind of get a little sticky as we go down that path. But the historical approach is interesting to look at, and it is helpful, and probably one of the top books that we've read on just apologetics in general was that one. But he goes on to say, but in general, the historical sections argue that a kind of evidentialism similar to the Ligonier type has been the common view of Orthodox Christians throughout most of church history. Hence, it deserves to be called classical or traditional view. However, it seems to frame that the history of apologetics before our century is ambiguous on these questions. And so, you know, you have both sides of this debate wanting to point to scripture or church history and saying, look, this is how Jesus did it. This how the apostles did it. This is how Paul did it on Mars Hill. And both sides seem to may put too much in their own camp. And Frame saying, let's sit back and see if this was the only way to do it.
All right. So he dives into the book here. Excuse me. And in this particular section, he kind of compares here Ligonier versus Van Til. And he says that he'll try to analyze the author's critique of Van Til before discussing their positive apologetics. So he's going to look at their critique of, you know, how they criticize Van Til. And then he's going to spend just a little bit at the very end looking at their particular positive approach to apologetics. He says Van Til's apologetics is essentially simple, he thinks. However complicated its elaborations might be. And basically, it makes two assertions, he suggests. First, that human beings are obligated to presuppose God in all their thinking. So that's the first assumption that he suggests that Van Til is making. Human beings are obligated to presuppose God in all their thinking. And secondly, that unbelievers resist this obligation in every aspect of thought and life, right? And so we're obligated to presuppose God, number one, but secondly, unbelievers resist this obligation. He says the first assertion leads Van Til to criticize the notion of intellectual autonomy, right? So we're intellectually, you know, kind of self-ruling kind of. The second, he says, leads him to discuss the noetic effects of sin. And he says that the Ligonier group criticizes Van Til on both of these accounts, right? In both of these areas, which he will consider in order. So he'll look first at the obligation to presuppose God in their thinking. And then secondly, he'll spend some time looking at their criticism of Van Til with regard to the unbelievers resisting the obligation to presuppose God in their thinking. So that's where he's headed here, as he jumps off into this particular criticism of the Ligonier approach.
Right. Yeah, and I think this is proper because I think one of the main kind of literal pictures to come out of Van Tilian's philosophy is the creator-creature distinction. It's the two circles that semi-overlap with a line directly down the middle. We've talked about that one in the past before. And so that model that two-point model that he's saying Van Tilian apologetics kind of boils down to, I think makes a lot of sense and is fair to the approach. Now there's definitely more that we can add to it. We can talk about tag and everything like that, but as far as the approach goes, I think that's especially when you're looking at compare and contrasting, that's a good jumping off point here. All right, so starting off with autonomy, reason, and circularity, which presuppositions are known to have to deal with all three of these allegations and responses, and I think rightfully so as well, especially since classical approach has become probably more of the mainstream, although depending on what areas you run into, that might be changing. He says, Framingham says here that the initial description of presuppositionalism shows insight in the prominent places given to Van Til's critique of autonomy. That is, he thinks, the foundation of Van Til's system and its most persuasive principles. We must not do apologetics as if it were a law unto ourselves, as if we were the measure of all things, right? Because we want to take the biblical approach. We want to take what the Bible says. And if we cut off or add to something that might make us either unorthodox or something that we see against scripture specifically, or we don't see it within scripture as far as kind of giving too much over to the other side, we come under that critique, or I think that that's an area where critique needs to occur. He goes on to say, Christian thinking, like all the Christian life, is subject to the Lord's, to God's lordship. And classical approach would agree with that as well. But here, presuppositionalist tends to build into that fact from the start, where classical approach would say it comes after salvation. It comes, it's not as forceful a selling point to unbelievers, where you're trying to meet them on the same level of like, listen, we agree that there's science, reason, logic, and maybe you can argue ethics as well. And so we're going to build on that same platform. And what Van Til says is that, nope, unfortunately, we must build everything under God's lordship. And where the Christian has a justification for those things like science and logic and ethics, to build on that same platform for the other person, well, there's no platform to build on. So why are you giving them so much that they just claim to know? And so he wants to then take a step back and say, well, let's look at where that idea of having a basis, a foundation for, if it's not built on a justification.